Hello, everyone, and welcome to Traveling with Françoise. I am Françoise Rhodes, your host, as we shift into a travel mode of this two-hour show. Yes, we do start at about 11:04 or 5, somewhere in there. And we are on for 2 hours. First hour is local events, what's happening here in the Coachella Valley and a little bit beyond. And the second hour, again, is all about travel. Joining us in the boardroom is Sean Flanagan. Well, Sean, the first hour is in the books.
And flew by, as always.
It was pretty crazy here. We had a streaming live going on with CoachellaValley.com. We had Craig Campbell here the whole hour. We gave prizes away. It was pretty crazy. But it was fun.
A good time.
Yeah, it was fun. This show today is brought to you by McDonald's. The Big Mac turns 50. Happy birthday, Big Mac. You're one of my favorites. And I say Dick Shalhoub. I hope he's having a party for the Big Mac. If he is, make sure you invite me, Dick, because I want to go. All right. Today we do have Vincent Battaglia. It's not Battaglia. I'm sure it's Battaglia. And I'm going to get it right. He's going to be joining us from, he is the founder of Renova Energy. But we're not talking business. We are going to talk about his travels. This is a guy that all I've ever seen on his Facebook page is work, 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 work forever. And this last year, all of a sudden, I see him popping up, going to all these places and doing all these scuba diving and all this stuff. So I said, Vincent, it's time for you to come and talk about some travel. So that is what we are going to be doing. Right. You can always call the show at 760-440-8255. That is 760-440-8255. We do have some tickets for the Living Desert Zoo and Gardens. We have two of them to give away, and we'll probably do it in the next segment of the show. In the first hour, we gave away some tram passes. We gave away for some General Patton Memorial Museum passes. So remember, you can only win once in the last 30 days. Now, KESQ, all right, I will admit it. I have not been on KESQ for about a couple weeks now, but I will be back next Saturday morning at about 6:40, and I will be talking about this great trip I had up to Bishop. It was so much fun off 395 in California. And during the travel hour of next week's show, I'm also going to be talking about my trip to Bishop. Joining us, well, I already everyone knows Sean. He's the person that answers the phone. So, Sean, here's a little bit of some travel news that I found interesting. They are planning on building an interstate to connect Canada and Mexico.
There's not one already?
Well, you would think there is one, but I think they want a more direct route that's going to go through the western Nevada near Fernley, about 30 miles east of Reno. And it's a 450 miles of interstate. And the federal government has finally designated this land along the Highway 95 corridor. So this should be interesting. This is going to keep some people in work. Employed, that's what I really meant to say, employed for a long time.
Oh, yeah. A long time.
So they are really excited about that. So we will see. Just another way for us to traverse our wonderful United States. Also, the Grand Canyon, I mean, these fires have just been, when you watch the news every night, the fires across at least the western part of the United States, because it's pouring down rain on the eastern side.
Right.
They have floods. They had a mini hurricane in New York. All this stuff. My gosh. And we're just asking for a little drop of rain. The other night, it was this week, I got up like I do and wander around at night. I have a tendency. I wander into the kitchen, and I like to look to see if the moon's out there or whatever. I don't know. And I'll look up and look for stars. It's just some weird thing that I do. I don't even know what. But I just get fascinated. I'll just stand there and look outside. I'll look up at the skies. But I heard this noise. In front, you know, the vents in your house, and I heard this. I thought, what the heck is that? I thought, that's weird. I said, it can't be rain. Darned if it had not been raining. And
there was rain,
and the patio was all wet.
Well, and that's good, then.
Yeah, so we had some strange rainstorm in the middle.
Just a quick.
Yeah.
So you didn't see it. So you could hear it, but you didn't see.
I could hear it.
You couldn't see anything.
And I saw the patio was all wet.
Right.
But you couldn't see it. It wasn't strong enough to where you could see the rain drops.
Right.
So I thought, well, at least we got a little bit of rain. But anyway. All right, back to the fires. Grand Canyon, right now that they are closing a scenic road to the North Rim Vista and two trails because of a lightning wildfire that has grown to 3.5 square miles. So if you're going to the Grand Canyon, these fires are really causing havoc to a lot of the national parks if they're anywhere near them. And I mean, it's just people have been so disappointed because they planned, you know, years to go on these big family vacations. They get there and it's closed. And there's nothing the fire, you know, you can't.
They can't do anything with it,
Yeah, they can't let you in there. The fire department. Yeah. So, anyway, the closure does not affect most of the North Rim, they're saying, facilities, including lodging and other services near Bright Angel Point. However, just keep that in mind when you're out traveling, that there might be some roads closed. Maybe going up into Oregon, they have some fire. What, that car fire? Is that the one it is? I don't know. Just some bad stuff. And Yosemite, now they have had fire there as well in Yosemite. In fact, they had some road closures up there. In fact, Yosemite was closed down. But they are saying that they tentatively plan to reopen on Monday. They said Yosemite National Park has been closed for 12 days, as long as it's ever been closed.
Wow.
Ever. And right now, the lines are a mile long getting into Yosemite National Park. So I hope you bought your tickets beforehand to get in. I don't know what they're going to do about the closures, if they're going to refund your money. I don't know. It doesn't say. But anyway, check before you go, because you don't want to drive up there and then be notified that it's closed. All right. Speaking of all the, you know, national parks and whatnot, I just planned a trip to Montana coming up at the end of August, actually the first week in September. I have never been to Montana, so I'm really excited about that. I always enjoy going to places that I have never been before. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah, I think we're going to Yellowstone and staying with some people I don't really even know, but that's okay. I'm game. We'll go and have a good time. So I am excited about that, and I will certainly keep you posted on that. Oh, all right. Well, the phone has been, what's been going on with the phone this morning?
People are watching the stream.
They were watching the stream.
Right, but they're rewatching the stream, so people are calling.
Oh, calling for the stream.
I keep saying, well, she might have more this hour, but that was for the first hour.
That was for, oh, okay. Well, we do. We have those passes for the Living Desert Zoo and Gardens. That number that you can call the show with is 760-440-8255. That's 760-440-8255. 8255. We also have our question of the week, which is really kind of funny. The question of the week and the answers are, and here was a question. So we can hopefully make other flyers aware of what bothers us. Name the most annoying thing to you that a passenger can do while inside the airplane. And I have to say, there's some pretty funny answers here. Maybe some stuff I hadn't even thought about. I don't know. But on that note, I think what we'll do is we will step aside. When we come back, we'll give away those Living Desert Zoo and Gardens passes. We'll also talk about our question of the week, and then we'll talk about some industry news in the travel world as well. You are listening to Traveling with Francoise right here on Money Radio. We'll be right back. You'll find Diane Williams and Associates on site at Indian Ridge Country Club in Palm Desert and serving the entire Coachella Valley. So whether you are buying or selling, Diane Williams and their team of professionals offers experience you can trust to begin that next chapter in your life. 760-776-7070. That's 776-7070. Or on the web at DianeWilliamsAndAssociates.com. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise. I'm Francoise Rhodes, your host, and we're right here on Money Radio. So great to have you with us. We are streaming live, and the show will be podcast in case you missed anything. All right, this segment of the show is brought to you by the Braille Institute in Rancho Mirage, offering free programs and services for seniors and others living with vision loss due to macular degeneration, glaucoma, and other conditions. You can give them a call at 760-321-1111. And you can find all of our sponsors on the website, Traveling with Francoise. And I do have an E at the end of my name. If you don't put an E at the end, it's a man. You put an E at the end, it is a woman. So there you go. Okay. All right. Well, let's get to the question of the week, because it is, you know, pretty funny, I thought. As I said earlier, so we can hopefully make other flyers aware what bothers us. Name the most annoying thing to you that a passenger can do while inside an airplane. You're always welcome to call the show. And what I do is I keep all these together, and then we pick a winner. And we're going to pick a winner today for a $25 gift certificate to Johannes. And the number you can call is 760-440-8255 if you want to just chime in on this. If not, you go to our Facebook page, Traveling with Françoise, and the question is up all week long, also on the e-blast that I put that out there as well. Okay, so here I'm trying to think of what is the most annoying thing for me when we're inside the plane. And I kind of have to say it probably is, there's two. I should only get one, but there's two. I'm a person, when I sit in my seat, I try to keep my arms and everything, you know, inside. I don't take the armrests away from anybody on either side of me if I'm in the middle. I don't know why. I should just kind of, you know, elbow them out of the way. But I don't do that. And when I sit in the aisle, I try to sit inside my seat. And I am always annoyed when people bang into me when I am sitting inside of my seat when they're walking down the aisle. I know the aisles are getting smaller, but I can't get any farther over. So that annoys me. And the next thing that annoys me is when somebody behind me is, well, actually, I also get annoyed when people talk loud on their phone and then when they're kicking me in the... Wow, when they're maybe a lot of noise me when I'm flying. I was thinking I'm a
good
flyer.
Sounds like me a little bit.
Jeez. I guess the kicking from behind, not too bad. But I probably most when people walk down the aisle and just banging into everybody along the way. That's my annoyance. What's yours, Sean?
You know what? I honestly can't say, because any time that I've ever gone anywhere, I am just antisocial. I have headphones on. I might have a hood up. You'd think I was a celebrity. I just ignore the world.
Do you know how many people comment to me about you, Sean? They say, they laugh. They said, why that Sean? But does he not like people or what? He seems like the nicest guy.
I've always told people I don't like people, but I don't think you that it's do. That I don't like people. I don't know. I'm just strange, I guess.
No, we all have our own quirky little things, trust me. All right. So Evelyn Farzorhen said, take their shoes off with stinky feet. Okay. Mary Wabel said, assume I want this. Some of these are making me laugh, too. She says, assume I want to know their life story just because they are sitting by me, which is so true.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. I think that's probably why I have headphones on and a hood up.
And your hood up. All right. Kimmy Sue says, I will get a lot of grief for this, but I hate it when the person in front of me reclines their seat. She said, I never do this out of respect for the person behind me, but these seats really don't recline that far.
But here's the thing, though. I'm the same way. I know it doesn't go back very far, but I feel like really, I feel like if I recline, I'm now like in their space.
Yeah, but they don't go back that far.
No, they don't.
All right. Janice Murphy says, the person in the seat behind me constantly bumping, pushing, or grabbing the back or top of my seat. Someone actually accidentally snagged my hair while holding onto my seat while getting up one time. Ouch.
Yeah.
That would hurt, yeah. Susan Brown Rosenberg, she says, eat something with raw onions. All right. Have you ever been on a flight where somebody does their fingernails with nail polish?
Oh, that sounds horrible.
It smells up the whole cabin. Wow. The nail polish. That's a really strong fume there. Gary Schwartz says, being in the middle seat with people who won't share an armrest. Well, you sit next to me, I give everybody the armrest, and I sit there all folded up, and I'm not sure why I do that. Gail Oldenkamp says, people who talk loudly the whole trip. Yes, I recently had a lady across the aisle reading out loud to her husband for the entire flight.
That's going
to
be Jasmine.
Oh,
Jasmine is such a loud talker.
Oh, is she?
No, but I can see her just, you know, not being a pain, but just talking to the person next to her, and it just seems to everybody else that she's screaming for some reason.
Oh, huh. I wonder why. Okay. Thomas Rabbins Lamb says, last flight, the person next to me had really, really, my God, really bad gas. Where do you people come up with this stuff? It's probably so true, though. Yeah, would be an annoyance. All right. Karen DeRath says, standing in the aisle, taking their time, blocking while they maneuver their luggage to and from the overhead bin. Yeah, do you wonder sometimes why it takes someone 5 minutes to get that baggage up at the top? I still say they should board in the back first and work their way up.
Forward. Yeah.
It would be so much better. But I guess first class people want to get in first. I guess
they want people to bump into them, apparently.
I guess. I don't know. I don't get first class, but Maria Vasquez says, closing the window during the whole daytime flight. You know, when I read this, I thought, that's so true, because if you're in an aisle seat, you don't have the window, so you're trying to look out everybody else's window. and you have a person that has in your aisle the shade closed the entire time. I do a little bit of both. I'll close it a little bit, then I'll open it. Most of the time I leave it open because I like to look down at the ground.
That's what I do. I like to look out the window.
Yeah. I like to look at the ground, and I also have this thing about looking for other jets in the air.
I don't like that because then I'm going to be like, is that too close?
Well, some of them. Too close? Yeah. If I can read the name on that jet, I'm thinking they might be a little bit too close.
I did that one time when I was flying to Portland. I had the quick stop in San Francisco. And as we were landing, there was like another one landing. I'm like, hey, do they know we're landing too? Like, this is we're getting too close.
A little too close. So, all right. Thanks for all your answers. And now I have all your names in a little bowl, and I'm going to pick out a winner. And somebody's going to win a $25 gift certificate to Johannes Restaurant in Palm Springs. And that winner is Janice Murphy. Congratulations. And remember, folks, all your answers. There'll be a new question this week. All your answers are entered to win something. I'll put it up there. And all my contests are free. Make sure you go to the contest page of Traveling with Francoise and check that out. And all right, so there you go. Great answers, too. These are really good answers. And, you know, the key to these answers is trying to come up with questions that will make people interact with that want to answer them.
Right.
Because I'll come up with some questions that I get very few answers. It's as if they don't want to voice that opinion
right.
where everybody else can see it. And then you get other questions where it's off the charts that I don't even have enough space time to read them all. So it's always fun. But picking the questions are good. All right, here's something that we might all want to do. I'm thinking of Borrego Springs myself would be a great place to go here close to maybe up at the top of the tram. And I say this wrong every year, but the Perseid, Perseid meteor shower is coming up August 11th and 12th. For those people that are up in Idlewild, they should probably see it up there.
Sounds like fun.
I mean, it is. Sky watchers should see about 60 to 70 meteors per hour. Space.com said they say the best views will come before dawn on August 13th. That's what they're saying. And they say a typical Perseid meteor shower produces 80 to a few hundred meteors per hour.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a lot. So that's going to be happening on August 11th and 12th, but they say the best viewing is on the morning of the 13th. I probably won't watch to see that one. Yeah.
You don't get up early?
Not if I don't have to. No.
See, I don't get up early, but I will stay. I can stay up and watch it.
I can stay up and watch it, yes. But morning, I think 8 a.m. is a very reasonable, good hour to get up in the morning.
I went, like, this month, basically, I will begin back to my 6 a.m., I think.
Yeah,
I get up at 6 and I go to bed probably about midnight.
It's because you're starting school, so
yeah.
That's good. All right, Canadian budget airline Swoop, S-W-O-O-P, announces 7 U.S. routes. Yes, this is the ultra-low-cost carrier. They're saying it's ultra, ultra, low-cost, low-cost. There's nobody out there like it. I mean, what are they saying? You can't carry anything on except a purse or what, a briefcase? I'm not sure. But congratulations to Swoop. They are a Canadian airline. They will be in have seven routes here in the United States. Also happening in the world of news, a polar bear attack in Spitsbergen on a Lapag-Lloyd cruise shore excursion over the weekend left the bear dead and the company issuing an apologetic statement. The crewmen were attacked by the bear. A crewman was attacked by the bear. He suffered head injuries, but he's doing okay. But the bear, in an act of self-defense, they shot the bear. Well, here's what bothers me about all this. These guys were out there looking for places to take tourists.
Right.
So they were in the bear's natural habitat.
Yep.
So who suffers? The bear.
The bear.
Yeah, not a good thing. That's really, of course, the cruise line has been getting nothing but grief over this, and they should. I mean, if their guys are in areas where they're a threat to the wildlife there, they shouldn't be there. Tourists
right.
shouldn't be there. And I don't know if you saw in the news the tourist in Yellowstone who was messing around with a bison was in the road.
Right, I did see that.
Did you see that? I think it was probably a YouTube video as well.
Probably.
He got out of his car. He was taunting the bison. They arrested him.
I thought he was trying to move it, and then I found out he was just like, I think he was messing with it.
He was messing with it, too, yeah.
I thought he was trying to get it out of the street.
Well, the reason they arrested this fellow is because not only had he been harassing that bison, but he obviously is on a vacation across national parks.
And he was messing with another animal, I thought.
Animals in other national parks.
Yeah, so he was just a winner all around.
Yeah, and guess drunk most of the time. But so he is finding his vacation time now is being spent behind bars. So
he gets a longer vacation, yeah, it sounds like.
So I'm glad to hear about that, but don't do that. When I was in Colorado and my first moose sighting, I was so excited to see a moose in the wild. I wanted, like everyone else, to run down there and take photographs.
Right.
But rangers are smart. They can see when cars start piling up in a spot along the road near a national park.
Oh, right.
There's obviously animal sighting.
Something there, yeah.
So they zoom right on over there and say, please, no selfies out there with that moose. You stay right here because they will charge you.
Oh, I would imagine.
Especially if it's, when you get between mamas and their babies, right, and all that. So, you know, use some common sense, folks. All right. U.S. Airlines cuts flights to Mexico beach areas. Citing weak demand, some airlines have begun reducing service from the U.S. to Mexico's beach destinations. United has added 33 destinations in 18 U.S. states over the past 4 months as part of a strategic plan to strengthen its hubs. U.S. Airlines also cuts flights. The ones cutting flights to Mexico are Delta and American and United. They all are cutting their flights to Mexico. Let's see. At the end of June, American Airlines, the CEO, he said, we're not going through the whole fleet and adding a bunch of seats to airplanes or taking out larger bathrooms and putting in smaller ones. Hello, that's exactly what they're doing, because the latest report says that American Airlines, their new jets coming in, the Boeing 737, they have more seats squeezed into the same airframe than before. They are smaller. They went from 160 seats to 172 seats, and they are making the bathroom smaller. So I guess he didn't really know what was going on in his own company. And TSA is ending screening at small airports. It is that what they're talking about now, that they won't be doing that. But yet at larger airports, they're widening the deployment of their 3D scanners. So lots of stuff going on in the world of travel out there. But what we're going to do is we're going to step aside for our local and national news. When we come back, Vincent joins us, and he's going to talk about his world travels. I don't know. I think we'll hear all about it. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise right here on Money Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise. So great to have you with us today on this Sunday. Well, I am excited to have Vincent. And first of all, we're going to get this straight. What's Vincent, that? Well, let's get the last name, pronunciation straight. Right. I say, let me try, Pataglia.
Okay.
Am I close? Oh, no. He's giving me that look.
I love you, so I'm going to go with yes.
No, I'm going to go with yes.
Well, no, we have it. That is one of three ways. So you have the anglicized or anglin. Wow, I just messed that word up.
Yeah.
The anglinized, I guess, the version of it is Bataglia. And then,
That's what I first called your last name.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
It would be Bataglia. But for those who have Mediterranean blood in them, which boils every time they hear a G, when a G follows a vowel, like Bataglia, it becomes Battaglia. You soften the G. So it's Battaglia.
Battaglia.
So. Now, no worries, though, Francois, because I am, Francois, my family all say Bataglia. My father, who is an immigrant from Italy, says Bataglia on his voicemail. It's Battaglia. I'm the only one who carries that forward. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, see, I always have a fallback because Francoise, people forget the E, or they say Francois, which is male. Francoise is female.
Right.
So that's my story. I'm sticking to it.
Bataglia. Just drop that G. It's not even there. And it's easier to actually understand what the word means. When you don't have the G, it means to battle or
so
to fight.
It's the darn G that messes up.
It's the G. When you say Bataglia, people go, all right, sounds a little Italian. I wonder what it means. And when you say Battaglia, they say, that sounds an awful lot like a Spanish word to fight and to battle.
So you are then?
Italian. From Naples. And originally, but the Battaglias means to fight. So when we traced our heritage, it comes from the Moors from Spain, who traveled through Sicily and really tribed in Sicily, and then would cross over onto the mainland of Italy. And the Battaglia clan was a group of mercenaries. So anyone with a Battaglia last name, Our origin are mercenaries, someone who would be paid to fight any fight. So we would pick up, as the 19 different sections of Italy were being carved up between all of the ruling families, whenever they found that they were going into war, they would go to Sicily and they would hire mercenaries, and the Battaglias were the group that were most active.
Whoa.
We then settled in Naples, and that's where my father ended up.
What a
being
story.
Born.
It almost sounds like Game of Thrones or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It was from back in the day.
Incredible.
So that's where, that was our
so
background.
You have definite reason to travel and go back, visit your heritage. And folks, Vincent here, Battaglia. Did I say that right again?
You did.
Battaglia.
Perfect. Battaglia. You got it. Cheers.
I'm questioning myself. He is, of course, the founder of Renova Energy. And now how many years going?
2006, and now we're going into – we're in our 12th, going into 13 in lucky number 13.
Lucky number 13.
In 2019, yeah.
And I just found out that Vincent here has been traveling the world with the company, and we're not talking about – he's not here to talk about the business.
Right,
I said that from day one.
That's right.
Because I wanted you on because through your Facebook, we're Facebook friends, and you're out there, and I've seen through the last 12, well, I'm going to say 11 years. I'm going to cut you some slack there. It's work, 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 work,
right.
work.
Right.
Then all of a sudden, I started noticing, wait, here's Vincent. Oh, he's traveling. He's scuba diving. He's doing all these
he's
things.
He's actually smiling. He's
smiling.
Not at a conference.
He's not working. Yeah. And I thought, wait, and life has finally blossomed for you to be able to get out there and see some things and do some things. And I really wanted to talk to you about it because, huge smiles on your face. You're obviously enjoying all the travels.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about, let's kind of backtrack on places, first of all, in your life that you had always dreamed of that you wanted to travel to and you hadn't.
Well, that when I was from 5, 6 years old, my father, since he is an immigrant and my mother's parents are also immigrants, then when they met in New York, a very big part of our family is family. And mm-hmm. so it was very important to my mother and father that my brother, my sister, and I knew our origin. And so it wasn't that we were American, we were proud and are proud to be American, mm-hmm. but that we have a heritage. So my father took us over to Italy. I've been more than a dozen times and to see our relatives who were over there and traveling through Naples and Rome and to Bari and Brindisi in the south. And so that was just a very big part of the family collective was mm-hmm. knowing where we came from. And so as time went on, that bug bit me, not my sister or my brother very much.
Oh.
My sister did go away to Cannes and studied for a year in France and when she was in high school, and I was fascinated by that. So that by the age of 21, when I had graduated from Cal Poly in San Luis Obispo, I didn't even walk through my graduation ceremony. This was 1992. I jumped on an airplane with a $700 Wells Fargo Visa card and some Harley Davidson t-shirts and a duffel bag, and I had my Mac Classic, if everyone remembers a Mac Classic computer, and I flew to Moscow.
Wow.
And I lived in Moscow from 1992 until 1999. So I lived there for 7 years through living in Moscow and also doing business between Moscow and St. Petersburg, and that allowed me to travel throughout mm-hmm. all of Russia, of course, Ukraine, into the Baltic states, where I saw my first solar systems. And that, and just being able to jump on a train or on a quick mm-hmm. airplane flight really opened up my eyes. Going to Russia was my doctorate in life, was learning about the different cultures, learning Russian, learning Czech, and different languages. It was a very, very big part of.
Well, I have to say, this is fascinating because, folks, this is the part of Vincent that we don't hear very much about. I never knew any of this. This is really something. Why Russia? Why did you fly to Russia? Did you have a job waiting for you? Was there just some sort of
I had a wonderful professor named Joe Weatherby, who's since passed. He was a mm-hmm. wonderful political science professor. I have a degree in political science and in finance. And the finance side of me is where Renova comes from. The political science side of me, God knows where it comes from. But thank God for Joe Weatherby because – remember, 1991, we had Checkpoint Charlie and the wall came down.
I've been on both sides of the wall in Checkpoint Charlie.
Good.
I just posted some pictures thinking about it a while back, which was a fascinating time.
Oh,
so
fascinating. And that is what drew me. We were watching CNN all of the time in 91, and so Joe Weatherby took our class in 91 to Moscow and also to the East part of Germany. And so we got a little look-see. We came back, and I was inspired to finish my degrees, graduate by 1992, and I had our had a wonderful translator who traveled with our group when we were with Professor Weatherby. And so I kept in contact with him. Mm-hmm. My graduation was coming up in June, and I just decided, no, to heck with it. In May, I'm going to get out there of 1992 and met up with this greatest human being I've really ever met. Yeah. And he took me around. He took me in because he was a translator, and he lived in the UK, but was a translator in Moscow. So he was like my attachment when I got to Moscow. And I said, okay, his name was Hussein. And I said, okay, Hussein, now what am I going to do here? And he said, he said, well, I hope you learned some Russian before you came over here. I said, no one speaks English. And he said, no one speaks English. And then, unfortunately, Hussein was transferred a month later. He worked for the BBC as well as being a translator, and he had to go back to London. And so here I am in the cold. The winter time was coming around. We're coming into 1993, and I'm in Moscow, don't understand a lick of Russian, only English, and had some Russians. Boy, when you showed up as an American back then, it didn't matter. I was in my early 20s, every Russian just looked at me as if I was a millionaire and I was there to save them. And and I learned, because I was on my own, I learned the culture, I learned the language from soup to nuts,
and
from
quickly.
The very, very beginning. And quickly, because if you didn't learn quickly, you weren't going to eat. And and so that was one of the things I learned. It was really baptism by fire in an entirely different culture. And the language is completely different than our Latin-based language. And at just 1 year, beget two, beget three, four, five, six, and by seven, I have a Russian passport, actually. I was able to purchase a Russian passport. And, you know, I went through all the process. So you have dual citizenship there. I don't know if it exists anymore, but I don't think I'm going to try it. I haven't been back. I came back.
Really?
Yeah, I came back in 99 and never bothered turning around and going back. But
what a fascinating story. How many languages do you speak?
Three now.
Three. And what are they?
It's English, barely. Russian, I speak Czech. And then the one that obviously I am most inspired to know next is Spanish. Because I can claim, I understand it, but it's embarrassing when you can't, you know. What languages do you speak, by the way, when you travel?
We'll just bypass that. My mother's listening. I speak English.
Good.
And maybe a little bit of Spanish, but I was one of those that, and she'll be cringing when I say that, but it's true. I never said the words correctly, so I was very rebellious. I'm a California native and said, that's it. I'm speaking English, which I regret. But when we're going to Mexico all the time, you know, if you try, if you put a little effort into it, we can pick up languages fairly quickly.
Yes.
But it's just practicing and
it's getting there and emerging.
Right.
It's emerging.
I mean, you had no choice. When you were in Russia, it was either do or you were not going to be eating or getting a job or doing anything.
Right.
Yeah.
Period. So, and it was getting cold. And if I wanted to know how to say blanket, you know, I could wrap my arms around myself. And there were folks there who did. I started a company called Babylon with a Russian named Yuri. Yuri is a great guy. He spoke English. But even after a while, when you're in negotiations and Yuri is doing the negotiation and I feel like I'm not participating, and that's the business side of me, that finance side of me said, you know, you'd better understand what's happening here.
Because you weren't quite sure what Yuri was negotiating.
You got
on
it. Yuri, and he negotiated some very interesting we had a production company and we did a lot of fun things. But that's what opened my world was getting out there. And I think a lot of Americans, that's one of the big deficits, I think, in our brilliant American culture. It's foregoing all other cultures, believing that really the American, that I shouldn't really call America a culture because it's such a mix of so many things. It's not really, when you go to other countries, they're the depth of everything that, you know, where they came from. And and I think Americans have a tendency to forget, you know, where we came from. Yeah. We seem to repeat a lot of mistakes. And other countries, they're more attached to where they came from.
Which the older generation, anytime you talk to the younger generation, they want to know, you know, they want to be like America. But it is really interesting. Americans tend to want to travel and be in America, wherever they are around the world. And you can't be that way. When you travel, you have to immerse yourself in where you are.
Right.
So on that note, we need to step aside. We will be right back. You're listening to Traveling with Françoise. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Françoise. We're having a fascinating conversation here with Vincent Battaglia.
You did it!
Yay!
That's great.
The founder of Renova Energy. We were just talking. This is the stories he's telling us, not normally things that he talks about, because they're just life moments that have happened to him that led the way all into the energy. And, oh, my gosh, we have so much to talk about and only about 9 minutes left. But you discovered, and then I want to talk about some of your recent travels. So. And he's already promised to come back and talk about all these other stories that you have.
We'll dig deeper.
Solar actually came into your brain when you were in Russia.
Right. We would travel to the Baltic states. And they had
solar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you had commented during the break about the windmills that you would see there. The folks who live in the Nordic countries, the Germans, they are so much closer to nature and so much more attached to nature and what nature can do for human beings and so much more so, say, than we are.
Right.
And so I was in Latvia, and that's where I saw my first solar photovoltaic panels on a rooftop. Had no idea what they were doing. And they had them tied to a small battery, and so it was being used as a little microgrid collecting sunshine and converting and storing in a battery for use. I thought that was fascinating, and that's really, I hold in my heart, that's the true moment when I recognize my purpose.
Your purpose.
And then from there, I traveled through Russia, where the part that disgusts me most but is integral to the Russian way of thinking as far as governing is this command and control central delivery of everything from their water, their hot water, to their energy, to their bread, everything. Yep. It's all done in one central factory and then distributed out. So it's a hub and spoke delivery. It's the least efficient way for anything, for humankind's to act. Yep. But it's the most, it's the best way that those who want to control an entire society like the Russian government does.
Right, it does. Yeah.
The Russian people are the most phenomenal people. Yeah. They are just like Americans, so spiritual, so gorgeous, so just beautiful souls. But they have this thing about being controlled.
Yeah.
And that's where they're at. And okay, that's fine. Yeah. And they're halfway around the world and we're on this side. So when I came back to the US in 99, I thought, wow, I just had that experience behind me. But I started to recognize some of those negative traits where we as Americans allow, even though we are not threatened by folks to our north or folks to our south, so we don't have to have a protector like the Russians do. The Russians are really in an area where they do need to have a very strong central government. We don't here in the U.S. That's why we're so awesome at being so entrepreneurial, and we come up with so many brilliant ideas because we don't have to worry about where we're getting our food from, get our entertainment, because we provide for each other. So we have the most amazing culture, or let's say society here, which is a mix of many cultures. So I came back thinking, all right, well, this country doesn't have any of those negative central hub and spoke type organisms or models. And I was wrong when I started looking at the way our electricity is delivered. We completely ignore technology and disruptive technologies. And so I found that solar was a very, very easy and quick and simple way, except that in 2006, no one had put together a plan to make it a retail model, a way where people felt they could depend on it, so it wasn't just some experiment in their lives or on their rooftop. And that's where the tagline, making renewable energy a way of life, came about, because we took an area, a segment that had never been retailed before, which was energy delivery, and I've now fought tooth and nail and battled, as my last name says.
Continuously. He's all over the world now battling.
So now when we talk about going to different places and traveling around the world, I go now to look at other advanced models for solar and batteries. And for example, last summer went to Greece and –
Let's talk about that.
Okay.
Because I know we said we weren't going to talk about work.
Yeah,
and here
yeah.
we are talking
right.
about work.
I know. We
yeah,
said that, didn't we?
You were talking about
we?
Work. Yeah, okay.
Well, but we'll, I do this 7 days a week. So, sorry, Francois.
It just, no. It just comes out in you because yeah. that's where one thing has led you to another.
Right.
And yeah, don't worry, folks. We'll have him back on. We'll finish out that story, too.
Right.
But Greece.
Right.
You went to Greece.
Right.
So when you are traveling, these countries that you've been, what countries have you been to in the last 2 years?
So Greece, Turkey, where did I go to? England, Paris, or Paris meaning, sorry, folks, France,
yeah.
Morocco,
okay.
And then Italy, and then, let's see, went to, well, then Canada, our good friends up there, I can't
yeah.
forget them, and then to Australia. And these are all countries that have exploding solar and battery storage businesses, and their models that, especially the Canadian model and the Australian model for that matter.
So you went to these destinations. Folks,
right.
I might just quit traveling with Francois and join Renova Energy so I can travel. You know.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible, the places you've been. And it has based, your trips have started for work. They have
right.
been work-related to
right.
begin. But once you get there...
Right.
And these sound like most of these places, were they first time for you to go there?
I've been before. Yeah, we could probably say like
some were new ones,
Morocco
some
was new. Greece I would go to, but Greece is really blowing up when it comes to solar and delivering to the islands,
really?
Microgrids. And,
uh-huh.
and so when I heard about that, one of my very best friends is Greek, travels there every year. And I kind of – for me, for my soul, it's – I do use travel as a bit of an excuse to get
okay.
away from and over yeah. to clear my mind for a little bit.
Yeah.
But I expose myself to the way that other countries are integrating renewable technologies. Mm-hmm. And that's interesting to me. So that's
is,
the
is
genesis.
There, and I'm sure there is. I'm sure all these places have different laws and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Are you with Renova Energy? Planning to expand the globe? Is that something that you have in
yeah.
mind?
No.
Okay.
No,
okay.
I will. We really are local. This
yeah.
is our region. We are moving the first of the year to Moreno Valley, where we'll have a location just because we get so many calls from Moreno Valley.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, but no further than that. There
yeah.
are some wonderful solar companies that are north of that. Then, of course, our drive, as you all know, down through the Imperial
yeah.
Irrigation District once we bring solar back to that territory. And then when you ask about international, the only area where I do and already have planned in
mm-hmm.
the five-year plan for Renova for expansion is into Mexico.
Okay.
Because
sure.
Mexico is one of the yeah. the nations that truly needs to bring energy independence to its folks.
Yeah.
Instead of using diesel generators to power their
mm-hmm.
homes, it's far, far, far safer, far less expensive, and far less expensive to the planet to set up solar and batteries in all of the pueblos
right.
down throughout Mexico.
Yeah.
So that's an area where I know my purpose leads from,
which is beautiful.
2025 and on. But for now, this is the area. We had to template the retailing of renewable energy. It hadn't been really the Germans did a pretty good job,
yeah.
But then their government took it over.
Mm-hmm.
We're America. We don't allow our government to take over our best ideas.
Yeah.
And that's why Renova is so successful, because people support the
yeah.
individual and entrepreneurship. And that's why. And now as an ESOP, you know, we're employee-owned, so
yeah.
everyone's shoulders behind it. So going into Mexico as an employee-owned company, I think is great for their economy and great for their people.
So what has – because now we're running out of time. Can
I'm
you
sorry.
Believe how
you
fast
see,
that went? Well, we did a great job, though, getting him to talk about something else besides work. We're getting – Vincent, I'm working
half
on
of
you.
The show,
I'm working
maybe.
On you. Where was – the most favorite place? We have about 30
sure.
seconds for where was the
Australia.
Most favorite. Why?
Because the Great Barrier Reef. Because I finally got to go and scuba.
You scuba
yeah.
dived, and
yes.
that was just as spectacular as you thought it was going to be.
And on the other hand, it was also just as life-changing because I had read so much about how the reef is being negatively affected.
And, yes.
And the heat and of the water and all of the – how suntan lotions have really changed the conditions. And so I really did go to see that, but not to say, okay, bye, reef, but rather just to hang with the people who are making changes. And that's what we did. And I got to swim with them and see through their eyes all of the way they're saving the reef. So it's
Vincent,
the world is great, Francois. We're in great shape.
Thank you so much. You promise to come back?
I will.
You promise to come back. We'll talk more travel. We'll see you guys next week. We got to go. Thanks for listening to Traveling with Francois. And remember, it's never too late to get a life.